The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Play. You are good. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, which means that three pre-existing conditions existed on the earth. One was without form, which describes a state of confusion or between decisions. I don't know if anyone here, you came here and your life seems like it's without form, especially in this economy. He says it was void, which means it was empty. Some of you may have compared yourself with your mates and you feel like your life is empty. And then he says darkness was upon the face of the deep. And darkness is just the absence of light, and God will supply light today in the name of Jesus. And these conditions existed on the earth, and the Bible says the Spirit of God moved over the face of the water. The Spirit of God is a provision of redemption and is the executor of the will of God on the earth. If you can pray in the Spirit, take 1 minute and pray in the Spirit. Play. And ask that as the word comes today, light is supplied in the name of Jesus. That as the word is spoken, it enters into you and sets you on your feet, telling you exactly what to do in the name of Jesus. Hover, flutter, brood, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Hover, flutter, brood, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We want one word in the name of Jesus. Zaros prendelia de higere de zigadonte in ombre kindali. Estubere meninde kidezi tebre kuzdei karada kaide kiere galados. Hallelujah. The word of God is not just spoken to be heard, it's spoken to be spoken. So the primary purpose of words is not for communication, it's for creation. The primary purpose of words is not for communication, it's for what? Creation. So lift up your hands and say this after me. I declare the eternal counsel of God through this holistic biblical approach. My soul is ready. My heart is willing. My lips say the same thing as God. I am rooted and grounded in love. I experience and show every day the love of Christ that is thrown beyond the mark of existing knowledge. I am complete with the content of God. If you believe it, say it again. I am complete with the content of God. If you believe it, say it again. I am complete with the content of God. One more time, shout it. I am complete with the content of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please have your seat. God bless you. God bless you, guys. I have never seen your kind. I'm devoted to so I'm going to start where I started in the morning, and I might take a detour. At least those of you that are attending for the second time, you don't have to hear the same thing. I said the realm of God is not just a family, but it's also what? A kingdom. It's not just a family, it's also what? A kingdom. In a family, significance is determined by your birthright. So the firstborn, literally, is more often than not, especially when he's a man, the more important child, is the inheritor, is the heir apparent. But in a kingdom, significance is determined by alignment to the agenda of the king. So in a kingdom, overtaking is allowed. And is determined by what? Alignment to the agenda of a king or of the king. So God is not just your father. We're going to be looking at him in these three lights. He's also your king and your judge. A king is a judge. And then he's also a spirit. So we're going to be looking at him as Father, King, Spirit. And we're going to be looking at our relationship with him as children, sons or subjects of the King and spirits. And we'll look at the provisions of redemption in that light, that we relate with him as a father, as children. As a king, we relate with him as sons or subjects, and the rules of engagement are different. And as spirits, the only way to relate with a spirit is what? Is what? I hope you know. The fatherhood of God predisposes him to meet your needs. Right? His divine power has given us everything we need. He has given us what? He has given us what? Everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us for his own glory and goodness. So the fatherhood of God predisposes him to do what? Meet your needs. But beyond meeting your needs, sons must become useful. Are you with me? Beyond just having their needs met, sons are also what? Useful. And so, children are consumers. Sons are useful. And so you may have lived, I've been a Christian for a while, but you're still a child. Because like I said, it's not determined by the calendar, it's determined by light. But God is calling us to move up to sonship and to mature into a relationship with him. so that we can take our place on the earth and so that we can do better for the gospel. Even though Jesus loves the little children must grow up. Right? So don't forget this. As children, we relate with him as what? A father. As sons, we relate with him as a judge or a king, a subject. And as spirits, we relate with him as a spirit. So that's the premise for everything we are going to discuss with. And I said, in a family, significance is determined by birthright, just being born into it. So you come by the blood, being born. But in a kingdom, the king's agenda is what determines how important you are. And systemically important people are treated differently. Okay, so I've started talking now, and this one is important. Systemically important people are what? Treated differently, which means children may be entitled, but sons are not allowed to be entitled. Sons know that they can lay themselves, tear themselves up to lay hold of God on a different level. Children just consume. Sons are what? Useful. How many people want to be systemically important to God? I like that there are not many people because, you know, you have to be careful what you ask for. God has moves on the earth. Systemically important people are the people that he uses to start those moves when nobody knows. I call them vital organs. You may not know them. They are hidden. You see, vital organs are hidden. You know the heart is hidden. All right. Now let's look at alignment with God and systemic importance. When God is moving, there's this song I like that says, God, if there's something you are doing on the earth, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Very important. I want to be part of what you are doing. God says, I want to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but how will I do it if I, without telling my friend? That's where God is calling us to. Systemical importance. Because there are different levels. Let me tell you why you need this. There are different levels of operations on the earth. And if you are going to go into your journey in the world and you don't want to compromise, you are going to have to attain something. The Bible describes principalities, rulers, principalities, powers, right? And dominions and elders. So the Bible describes that hierarchy of rank in the spirit. That you come to a place, you meet a ruler. If you don't have any leg in the spirit, the guy will do you anyhow. And you go and cry like a child. And you'll be wondering, and you say it's not fair. Someone said to me during the week, he said, but these wicked men, they don't follow the rules. I said, they follow the rules. They are the one that doesn't follow the rules. Wicked men understand that blood, what blood is for. Do you hear what I'm saying? Wicked men understand what blood is for. It's children that don't understand. You need to enter into, there's no way we can take the country, the nation, or the territory if we don't mature. Each person here needs to become a dominion. Kingdom means king's dominion. So that you, and you know when he gave us dominion, he said control, mentor, control everything that goes on there. Control principalities, control powers, control the rulers of the air, control all of them. That's what God has given us. But we operate like children. And that's why the country is the way it is. Said, but we pray a lot. If you check the content of prayer, it's a child's prayer. Give me milk. Give me food. Give me the next car. Give me a wife, oh Lord, or I kill myself. Kill yourself now. Give me this, and then you put a deadline for God. Yeah. People do it a lot. I just laugh. You put a deadline. If you don't do it by... okay. You're the one that has a wristwatch. Whose life is bound by time? God is eternal. Let's see who will last. Alagbara lo ma last. Those are all children type stuff. But God is calling us to. And there's a prophecy over the life of everyone here. But the stage of maturity of a prophecy is when it turns into a covenant. The difference between a prophecy and covenant is what? Commitment. Commitment from either parties. So God said to Abraham, he said, in blessing I will bless you. He said, and I will make your name great. Right? In you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. That's like what God has said over every one of us. That thing is a prophecy. Many people go to the grave with it like that. Do you know? The grave is full of people who have gone with it like that, even though it came out of the mouth of God. You know why? Because God does not commit to casual relationships. Until you lay hold of him on a different level, you will never see that prophecy unlock. So Abraham started his work with God, and God told him one day, he said, let me introduce myself to you. And that happened with the children of Israel. Every time God wanted to introduce himself, he gave them a name, or they gave him a name. And that's another provision of redemption, the names of God, right? So God told Abraham, he said, bring your child and take him to the mountain and go and kill him. Abraham said, yes, sir. And I don't want to imagine the conversation between that Abraham had with Sarah. So where are you people going? To the mountain. What's happening in the mountain? I cannot tell you. Child that she waited for. You want to go and kill him. But the Bible, in describing Abraham, you know what he said? He said he accounted. He used the word accounting. That means it's a balance sheet item. That Abraham did accounting, and when he balanced his books, it balanced. That God brought this child out of dead body. He can give him, if we kill him, he will bring another one. You have to understand. He did accounting. So faith is not gragraf. Faith is not shangri. It's accounting. Accounting with superior understanding. That we were dead when the child came out. What are we withholding from the one who brought him? Do you understand me? And God, it was on that mountain that Abraham met Jehovah Jireh. Listen to me. In this economy, if you are going to meet Jehovah Jireh, you have to bring Isaac. You didn't hear what I said. If you heard, you would have written it down. If you are going to meet Jehovah Jireh, you will do what? And God will tell you what Isaac is. I told you this, I will be talking gently. You have to what? Bring Isaac. Some of you know what Isaac is. Some of you, Isaac is a relationship. I have thrown stone in the marketplace. Some of you, Isaac is a relationship. He said, except the seed fall to the ground and die. Bury that guy. Not physically, I mean. Bury the relationship, die, or else your husband is not coming. You say, but God, a bed in hand. He said, bury it and let it fall and die. Some of you, Isaac is a business. It's a partnership. You will never meet Jehovah Jireh if you don't bring Isaac. Alignment is secured by the blood of Jesus. And it's when the Bible says, Romans 10, it speaks of righteousness. It said they had their own righteousness. And it speaks of their own righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord and the righteousness of God, or the righteousness that is of faith. He said, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, right? With the mouth, confession is made to salvation, 10:10, Romans 10:10. That word righteousness means alignment with God, you and God, you are on the same wavelength. Means that you don't have any agenda except God's agenda. And it's easy to test in your life. Is there any agenda in my life except God's agenda? Listen, maturity means you have to get on God's mission, not your own. And some of you, your Isaac is your mission, your vision, your ambition, the thing you want the most. Place it at the feet of Jesus today. And let's see if what he wants to give you is not better. Right? I said the last time I came here, I said Anna wanted a son, but God wanted a prophet. Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted a son, but God wanted a forerunner. Place what you want, the thing you really want, place it today and see if God will not take it and give you something that's better. In fact, what you want might even be inside what he wants, but he just needs you to surrender it. So alignment is a key. And the way to come into alignment is to come to Gethsemane, the place of exchange. Not my will, but yours be done. So you have to get to Gethsemane in prayer. And you have to figure out what your own Gethsemane is. Some of you are struggling, and that's why God in his infinite mercy has caused your life to stall. Do you understand what I'm saying? He has caused your life to what? Stall. Until you let go, and he will allow things move. God can never cheat you in business if you come into business with him. 1 Chronicles 4. I was reading, it's very boring, that part of the Bible. But I like the boring part because you find something. I mean, you just be reading the Bible and you say, psh, and Jabez, wait, what were we talking about? Where did Jabez come from? How did Jabez get your attention? Which etutu does Jabez know? So 1 Corinthians 4, they were reading the genealogy of the house of Judah. Right? And they said, these are the sons of Judah, Mered. And these are the sons of Bithia, the daughter of Pharaoh. Eh? And I said, there's a problem there. Let's read it again. These are the sons of Judah, of Bithia, the daughter of Pharaoh, in the lineage of the tribe of Judah that Jesus came from. So when I went to look at Bithia, I found out that she's the one that found Moses at the water. God does not use you and not reward you. Do you understand what happened there? She's the one that found Moses at the water and picked him up and gave him security and raised him as her son in the palace. When God destroyed the entire Egypt, she wasn't with them. Do you hear what I'm saying? When Egypt, she left with the Israelites because she married Mered, an Israelite. She left her identity, her people. Do you all know how deep this thing is? I want some of you need to leave your identity and take God's identity. So you're reading the genealogies of Jesus. And they say, Bithia, the daughter of Pharaoh. There's always something. Transactions, opportunities for transactions are going every day. And your predisposition can either stop you from entering or allow you to enter. God used her as a systemically important vessel to preserve Moses. And you know what Moses did now. So she was essentially the mother of Moses through that period. But God rewarded her. Because God does not use people without. How many of you want to be systemically important? You have to grow up. So I'm going to talk in this light about the provisions of, if you are timing me, can be here till evening, about the provisions of redemption. And these things that God has given us, that through redemption we can live a victorious life. But at some point, only sons can access them. So let's start with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is for access. and reconciliation, right? And I explained in the morning that the blood of Jesus, the application of the blood is a legal application, right? Is there any lawyer here? It's a legal application, right? So when someone and the defendant is arraigned in court, they ask, what do you plead, guilty or not guilty? Guilty means I did it. Not guilty means I didn't do it. But Jesus now allowed for a third plea, which is I plead the blood of Jesus. That's what it means to plead the blood of Jesus. It's a legal word to plead. To plead the blood of Jesus means I did it, but somebody has paid the price. Because the structure of the spirit realm is that there must be, somebody must pay the price. Right? And so that's the application of the blood. Now, essentially, the reason why somebody must pay the price is that God is spirit, and spirits don't forgive. In the sense of forgiveness that we know it, which is, I was describing my sons, my four-year-old and my eight-year-old. My eight-year-old likes to disturb my four-year-old, you know, he does it deliberately. Sometimes I'm talking and I catch him pinching him or doing something. And he knows his elder brother can't beat him without being spanked. So he does something to him, and then I say, apologize to him, and he says, I'm sorry. And the eight-year-old says, it's okay. That's not how it works with God. You can't, I'm sorry, it's okay. No, that's the, do you forgive me? No, that's not how it works with God. In order for a spirit to forgive you, your sin must be blotted out. That's why John looked at Jesus coming and said, behold the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sins of the world. Jesus literally took it away. So God doesn't see the sin again. That's why when you sin and you run away from God's presence, I don't understand. It is illogical. It's just the devil. You're supposed to now be running towards him. Demon. So that you can be cleansed and you can move on. God literally doesn't see it again. And so that's how the blood of Jesus works. Right? So a child, if you are operating at child level, you use the blood of Jesus. So I've done it again. Forgive me. I've done it again. And you're in a cycle. But God wants you to, and you're okay. But God wants you to mature beyond there and use the blood for deeper things. So a son who is operating at son level knows, for instance, that beyond just forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, that I can use the blood of Jesus to secure exemption from sickness, exemption from the economy. Exodus 12. He said, I mark your doorpost with the blood. He said, when I see the mark of the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Which means anytime there's judgment in any system, you can use the blood for what? Exemption. I've done it. I did it during COVID. I would have died if not for the blood. Had it, my sputum was already brown, turned brown, which means on the way, it is the blood of Jesus. You can. But you see, if I didn't use it for exemption, and I didn't follow instructions, and I died, God is still God. That's what I'm saying. That your maturity is in your hands. The provisions of redemption are there. And they'll be staring you in the face. But if you don't apply them, what happens? You live like a man and die like a mere man. So the Bible says, men ought to pray always and not faint. That's the definition of man. Pray always and not faint. So some man, you might be shouting in the house to your wife, I'm the man, I'm a man. You don't pray always or not faint. In the spirit realm, you are sacrifice. You're not really a man. You're just shouting at home. Because the men pray always and they don't faint. It's not about shouting, I'm the man. And look at what the Bible says, men and do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So essentially, a son knows that I can use the blood to do what? Secure exemption. Mark my children, secure exemption. You know, a spirit knows that I can use the blood for something deeper. It depends on which level you are operating on. So I asked in the morning, I said, what are the love languages? Who can tell? You guys know the love languages. I know there are romantic people here. You know the love languages, five love languages. Acts of service, right? Thank you. What's the love language? So we know the love language of men. What's the love language of God? What is the love language of spirits? God is spirit. You see, because he said God is spirit, and those that worship must worship in what? Spirit. So if you are going to worship him and love him in spirit, what's his love language? Sacrifice. Sacrifice is the love language of spirit. That's why God, in expressing his greatest love, sent his own son as a sacrifice. You have to understand this because this is deep right here. Now, let me show you an example. I said this earlier, and I want to rush through this so I go somewhere. God said to Abraham, he said, circumcise all the children of Israel. All of them. All the firstborns, also all the male children. And then Moses came, and Moses gave birth to Gershom. Now, he had already told them, he said, don't marry an outsider. Right? And Moses married an outsider, a Midianite. So she didn't understand the customs. So Moses would have had some difficult conversations with his wife, you know. So that's just comfort for those of you men of God, husband and wife, you're having difficult conversations. It's okay, you're not the first. Just ask for God to help you to navigate it. You're already inside, eh? So Moses was having this difficult, and he was a meek man, so he wouldn't fight with her. Some men are saying, See the man smiling. Ah! Don't smile if your wife is sitting beside you. I'm not here. Her Sunday lunch is off the table. I'm not there. But you say, am I your difficult conversation? No, man. It's not you. So Moses gave birth to Gershom. And he was uncircumcised. Moses, the leader, was in disobedience. So God, when he was leaving to go back into Egypt, he left Gershom and his family, Zipporah. He left them in Midian. His father-in-law brought them to him. He said, I'll take your family. Okay. And then God appeared to Moses. Gave him his... This was a man... No, Moses was the one that saw the face of God. This guy was... wise and deep. Yet his son was uncircumcised. So God appeared to Moses, gave him instruction. He said, when you get to Egypt, this is what you do with Pharaoh. This is what you do, blah, blah, blah. In the morning. By night, they were in the inn. God appeared and wanted to kill his son. The Bible says, and he made to kill him. Ah. Is that not a wicked God? If they are interpreting it, is it not wickedness? Me, I'm your messenger. You sent me somewhere, I'm going. On the way, you want to kill my son. You know why? Spirits don't forgive. Look, this is a law, exact law. It's not emotional. It was not an emotional decision that Moses is my guy. No, spirits don't forgive. And Zipporah knew exactly what she was doing, right? So when Moses got there, and the spirit wanted to kill, God wanted to kill Zipporah, Gershom. What did she do? What did she do? Who has read that place? What did she do? She took a sharp stone and circumcised the boy there and there, and she threw the thing at the feet of Moses, and she said, "You're a bridegroom of blood. You're a bloody husband to me. I'm not happy with you. Blah blah blah, blah blah blah." And God did not kill the boy again. That's a transaction, a spiritual transaction that should teach you a lot. Say, even though you are on my, I'm going to, the laws of the spirit realm do not change. And this is where Christians fall into the gap, thinking, God just has to do something. We are hungry. There are children that are hungry in Somalia. God doesn't have to do anything. If he doesn't do anything, he will still be God. If he doesn't heal you, he will still be God. The power to heal you is with you. Do you hear what I'm saying? And of course, God did not want an uncircumcised Gershom to enter into Egypt. Because when the spirit of death came, Geshem would have died with all the firstborns. Because the antidote to the spirit of death was not just the blood on their doorpost. That blood is activated by the covenant, which was in their flesh. You cannot stand and say, because blood is blood, you can't be using the blood of Jesus without knowing him. As the sons of Sceva, they beat them to a pulp. So that blood is activated by what? The covenant. So Geshem had to have the covenant. So again, God appearing to kill him was a merciful act to say, let's sort this thing out before you enter into Egypt. I said, some of you, God has stopped your life until he gets something straight before he progresses you. It's not the devil. Stop praying. Stop going from pillar to post. It's God in his infinite mercy. Because the next phase will kill you. So I want to talk about, I've talked about the blood. I want to talk about the name of God. Then I will talk about praise. Three, two, and then I'll close. The second provision of redemption is the name of the Lord. He gave us his name. He started by giving Jesus a name that is above every other name. That the name of Jesus, every knee must what? Do you know what that means? It means that whatever the condition is, as long as it has a name, it must come under the name of Jehovah. Do you understand? Do you understand how deep that statement is? It means that if you have sickness in your body and you ask the doctor and they say they don't know, then you might be worried a bit. The minute they identify it, your reaction should be, ah, okpeo. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'll say it again. If you have a sickness in your body, right? And the doctors say, this is the name. The minute they tell you the name, as a son and as a spirit, you don't go, oh my God. You say, ah, thank God, we know the name, which means it must subject his name. Then you go into sacrifice. And you bring the name of Jesus on top of it. Do you hear what I'm saying? So the doctor can say what he will say. Once it has a name, okay, oh. So imagine, and you know the devil is trying to get you depressed. So imagine yourself rejoicing when the doctor tells you the name. Do you understand? Because you are a spirit. The name of the Lord is also the reputation of the Lord. He said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, if you take righteousness as alignment, then you read it again. Those who are aligned can run into it and be saved. If you are not aligned, you can't utilize the name. Do you hear what I'm saying? The only way to utilize the name of the Lord in the day of trouble is to have an intimate, aligned relationship with him. So he says it's a strong tower. He said the righteous run into it and saved. He said, I was young. I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread, which means that those who are aligned will never be forsaken. You see, people are quoting that scripture, but they are not aligned. You will beg bread now. That's the spirit realm. That's the way it works. Out of mercy, God will send the ravens to you. You know, the raven is the dirty bird. So whatever it brings, you will eat. The quality of your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? But if you want to plant and eat of the good of the land, that's another level where sons operate. Right? Let me address this. That God will transfer the wealth of the wicked. It's like, oh, sorry. I laugh when I... That he will transfer the wealth of the wicked to me. Have you ever asked what the criteria for wickedness is? How does the spirit realm determine wicked? You have to ask, because you might be the wicked. The Bible says in the parable of the talents, he said he gave one, 5, that one multiplied it. He gave another one, 2, that one multiplied it. He gave one, that one did what? He did. What did he call him? Let that sink in. The next time you go for a prayer meeting and they say you should pray for the transfer of the wealth of the wicked, just say, Because you don't know what God has given you that you have no use. You say, call on Shan. God have mercy on us. Because you are praying, you might be the wicked in the story. Be careful. I'm talking about maturation, what the spirit realm dictates. Because you need to be deliberate. Right? So there was a man in the Bible, he didn't have a name, but he knew the name of the Lord. If I have two people, I'll give you this example, and then we'll move to the last one now. The first one was the Syrophoenician woman. Right? The Bible describes her as the Syrophoenician woman, deliberately not naming her. But she knew. When Jesus was passing, what did she say? She said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus chinned her as if nobody was talking. Then she said, Jesus, you know what son of David means? God had told David in the Old Testament, he said, your throne will be forever. Which means that there will always be a son of David on the throne, right? So when she hailed him in a messianic way, when the Israelites and his disciples were still finding it hard to believe that he is the one, are you hearing me? In that time, they were finding it hard to believe that he is the one that they had prophesied of. The one woman in the bush was calling him son of David. He had to stop. When he realized that the woman is very deep, he now said to her, at that point, she and he were having a conversation that was over everybody's head. He said, Madam, you know that, you know, that it's not good to give the food for the children to the dogs. She said, Oga, I don't need the food. It's the same thing that is inside the crumbs that is inside the bread. She said, Oga, this power that you are carrying, she was telling him about his power. Say, this power that you are carrying, if you give me small, Jesus said, you believe this power? So she said, me, I can tell you about the power. If you give me small, say, go be. The other man too. Interestingly, the Bible doesn't call him anything. The Bible doesn't say his name. They just call him blind, the son of Timaeus. That's what Bar means. So he was blind. They call him blind. Imagine his condition became his name. Blind. What's your name? Blind. Son named Timaeus. So he was... He too shouted. He said, Jesus, son of David. Now. How did a blind man know that Jesus was son of David? He had no way of reading the Torah. There was no Braille in those days. He didn't read the Torah. How did he know that this was the son of David? Hello? You see, faith. And next week, we're going to talk about faith very well. I will talk the two services. Faith is not the way we have been seeing it. Faith releases a strategy. But faith utilizes the brain. Thinking is a prerequisite for faith. So the faith that you are learning, that you drop your brain at the door, is not faith. Is something else. Because faith comes by hearing, and thinking is a prerequisite for faith. So he said, while he yet thought, the Holy Ghost fell on them. While he thought on these things, the Holy Ghost, you see it a lot in the Bible, while they thought, and he reckoned his body being old, even Abraham, reckoning is what? Thinking. So at some point, sons must engage their brain. And imagine with this faith thing. Now, blind Bartimaeus was a deep guy. He wasn't like any run-of-the-mill guy. People see him and think he's Bambi Allah. No, he was a deep guy. Because after he called him son of David and they told Jesus to come, you know in Israel those days, they gave them a cloth because they were scammers who were begging for money. So if you were a leper, you carry a bell and all that. If you were blind, you would get a uniform that people saw and they now gave you money. Right? So once they saw that uniform, you have been certified blind by the priests, and you are allowed to beg to eat. Right? Now think about this. When Jesus said, bring him to me, what's the first thing the guy did? He threw away the jacket. So we die here. He threw away his meal ticket and his identity as a blind man. That cloth, that jacket, I know he's a blind man. It's not as if he can start looking for it in the crowd again. The guy was not, he was sure, he was as sure as anything that this was the last day of blindness. And that's what faith does. He was sure. He threw it away as if to say, we die here, sir, Baba. And that woman is the woman with the issue of blood. And remember, Jesus had not died at this time. So these guys were operating with a more difficult spiritual environment than us. Do you hear what I'm saying? The woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus. She was so sure. When you have faith, we'll talk about it next week, you are so sure, nobody can tell you otherwise. She was so sure that she touched Jesus without his permission. He said, I don't even need your permission to be healed. All the wonder, he said, let Jesus heal me. Do you understand how powerful this thing is? He said, this thing, I don't need your permission. She touched him and she was walking away quietly. Jesus said, stop there. Who took power from me? He said, excuse her. All these people that are pushing you, they don't know what it means to touch you. They are pushing you. Me, I just touch you. But the Bible said they were thronging him. She touched him. How did she know that if I touch the hem of his garment? How did she know? Leviticus and Numbers. So when a woman is on her period, right? Anybody that touches her, she transfers uncleanness to him. So she reckoned that if uncleanness can be transferred, that if uncleanness can be transferred, a miracle can be transferred. That this Jesus that I'm seeing, but a reckoning is required. Christians don't engage their brain, but God put it there. The mind of Christ is the intellect of God. The Holy Ghost that used to give people sliding tackle when we were growing up in church is the same Holy Ghost that is the innovator and the builder of all things. So if you only know him in his sliding tackle dimension, that's a child. You have to know him in the dimension where you can draw without his permission and just walk away. You don't have to wait for a miracle service. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to wait. My time is running out. The last provision I deal with today with is praise. Praise in the hand of a child is done only when God does something for you. So the mood determines the praise. So I'm not in the mood. I'm missing out. Picture Paul and Silas in prison. They had beaten them, flogged them. They were now in the prison. And the Bible said they prayed and they sang. Now, if you read, check the word sang in the Greek, there were specific scriptures that they were reading. Psalm 113 to 118 and Psalm 136. They were not singing as it were, they were reciting those hymns, right? Because those hymns were the hymns that the Israelites used in the day of trouble. They knew that praise was not just for God, on one level for God, but on the bigger level for you. Because when you say magnify the Lord, you can't magnify him. To magnify means to exalt and to enlarge. You cannot make God bigger than he is. When you say magnify the Lord, you're actually trying to magnify him in your mind and make him bigger than whatever it is your situation is to you. So they knew that the only way we can be here is that we are not functioning properly. If we want to function well, we need to bring God in his entirety into this thing. So they started to read. Rise up on your feet. Let's do an exercise. Let's do small. Psalm 136. I want you to do something that will spiral testimonies in your life over this week. Then we will talk about it next week. This is instruction from God, so I know. Psalm 136. Now when I read, say, you read the other part, say, for his good and his mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone doeth great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. If you contact the one who made great lights, you can never be confused. There can never be darkness in your life. You see, the essence of faith is that faith comes by hearing. In order for God to reach us, you need joy. Because the Bible says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Water is the word of God from the wells of salvation. So the devil is actually going after your joy by putting holes. You know Buga, the bucket that you used to, right? He wants to put holes in that bucket. By the time you draw, everything has leaked. Your job is to safeguard your joy, right? That's why I said, when the doctor gives the name to the sickness, you say what? Opel. Even if you are not feeling it, you won't feel it. Shivers will come on. You say Opel, and then you move it to the spirit, and then you praise. Look, you are a human being. Your spirit, it is called spirit-to-spirit communication. I'll talk about it next week. The Holy Spirit will literally take hold of your spirit, right? And that's where you enter the realm of healing. Or the realm of the word of God. The word of God might be like, set your house in order. It's time to go. You have to also be ready to take it. Right? It's time to go. You know, I have a pastor who, that was the word of God. And when they went to pray for him, he said, "Don't, this thing I'm seeing, if I make it this first time, don't go and bring me back and we'll start saying story that touch later, please." The word of God may be, get up from the bed. You don't have to wait for someone to pray for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So essentially, Paul and this was what they were doing. And every Jewish child is taught to read the Torah at the age of 12. So they and that's why you must know the law. You must have it inside you. Because on the day of trouble, you might not be able to carry the Bible. Right? So this is literally what they do. They sit down and they are, praise the Lord, to him who made great lights, for his mercies endure forever. And when they got to a point, God inside them became bigger than the prison. So I'm going to allow you to do a praise. So those of you that are in first service, you are lucky. Because you get to put more into it. Right? And I forgot to mention in first service, if you can reach them. Every day this week, take out 5 to 10 minutes. To just do it. Just take it out. Forget how you're feeling. This is not emotional. This is the spirit realm. And the spirit realm is legalistic. It's not fair. It's legal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, as you enter into this praise, it's just one thing we're going to be saying. Right? As you enter into it, I want you to bring your deadlines, the ones that will cause shame. Bring it out to God. I want you to bring the illnesses that they have named. Put their name on the altar. And let's see if they can stay. Ah, Belonche Onisha Iyanu. Stop. Both of you, can you come? Look, let me tell you, this is a tutu. It's not cute. It's not. If you are going to be cute about it, forget it. Oh, yeah. Show them how we do it. Ah, Belonche Onisha. So find a partner to encourage you. Kiribanoski telebregados. Yakata yabregados, sitelebrenda ligare. Shedabarokodos, sitelebrane. Branoko sutelebrenadesh. Yikandelibo sutelebrani shedere. Bragados, bragados, shedere. Bregades, sitelebrandeliha. Ibrogados, shetelebrahanda. Barakades, kedere, baharagadere. Belo Sheo Nishayanu. Belo Sheo Nishayanu. Belo Sheo Nishayanu. Belo Sheo Nishayanu. I'm going to allow you to do it once more. As you are doing it now, you are standing on Sunday next week, and the bill has been paid. The healing has been secured. The rent has been paid. The school fees has been paid. In the name of Jesus. So when you stand and you say bear alone share, which means this is how it behaves. This is how he behaves. He's a miracle worker. We are not surprised. Which means we are not afraid. Do you understand? Because you have activated joy. Now, it's not juju. It's a tutu. Which means as you go into the week, the direction will hit you. So you also have to be open to the word of God. Now listen. The word of God is not just spoken to be heard. It's what? Spoken to be spoken. Which means that as you go, God will choose how he will speak to you. You cannot tell him how he will speak to you. So open up your heart. Right? As he speaks to you, carry out the instruction immediately. If it is not instruction, if it is a scripture, then you confess that scripture every day of this week. You take it. You take it and you confess it. Spoken to be what? Spoken. But remember, every day of the week, if you want to see favor and miracles, one more time, let's go. Ah! Belo Sheo Nishayanu. 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 Aribakodos kede de bahala. Take all of the glory. Take all of the honor. Take all of the glory. That's just the song, simple. Take all of the honor. Take it, Lord. Take all of the glory. Yakiere kale. Kale kaye de kale kao de sole. Le krifade nae lae le mokale la lo. Maeke talo kaye kaye. Kaki kaye de kaye de kaye de kaye le 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 le. Maye de sabi kalo lo shere de shere de kamprene. Take it, Lord. Father, we ascribe greatness to you because it is done. We declare that every other name fades away. Cancer fades away. Diabetes fades away. Keratoconus fades away. In the name of Jesus. go before us and make the crooked places straight. Break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Give us the hidden riches of secret places and the treasures of darkness. And we will know that you, that call us by your name, you are God over God's favorite house. In Jesus' name, amen.